to order our regular Thursday, June 1st meeting of the Orange County Parks Commission. If you'll please all rise. Pam, you want to lead us tonight?
Sure. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Surprise, surprise.
Roll call, please. Mr. Clerk?
Yes. Chair Schauber?
Here.
Vice Chair Ashland?
Here.
Commissioner Diaz?
Here.
Commissioner Hansen?
Here.
Commissioner Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Weigand?
Here.
We have quorum.
Thank you. Okay, we have several agenda items tonight. If you'd like to address the commission on any of the agenda items, you may do so when they come up. Or if you would like to speak at this time under public hearings, you can do so. Remember that we cannot act on anything or discuss something that's not in our jurisdiction or it's not on tonight's agenda. So therefore, I'll open up public participation. Mr. Michael Wellborn, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Mike Wellborn, President of Friends of Harvest Beaches and Parks. It's great to see you all again. Just wanted to make a brief comment. As the summer season gets rolling, the trails are going to be crowded, especially on weekends. We all know what happens out there on weekends. It gets really nuts. So I'm really hoping that the Parks Department will be moving forward on the Trail Ambassador Program and getting those people out there, especially on weekends when the congestion is unbelievable. Just a lot of risk factors, which come back to the county. So hopefully we'll see some progress. Look forward to it.
Mr. Chair, may I say something to Mr. Wellborn? Can you step up to the count? Michael?
I'm sorry.
Can you step up?
Commissioner?
I want to thank you for the service you provided to this, to the OC Parks and to the county of Orange. I wasn't here when you left. I never had a chance to say thank you.
Well, thank you, Commissioner. As I told the supervisor, it was my pleasure and an honor to be part of this commission.
And Michael, you did a great job while you were here all those years. So on behalf of all of us, we want to thank you, including our staff.
Yes. Well,
thank you very much.
Chairman.
You're welcome. Is there anyone else that would like to address the commission at this time? Okay, we'll go ahead and close public hearing. Back to consent calendar, all items can be taken in one motion. Is there any item that needs to be pulled by any commissioner? Will we receive any correspondence on any of the agenda items? Anything from staff? Is there a motion to approve the minutes? A consent calendar?
I will.
Okay, we have a second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Fine, we'll move on.
I didn't get who was the second on that motion.
Okay, oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we're moving on to discussion calendar. Item A, Newport CD's lease amendment. The County of Orange and the Boy Scouts of America are working to amend their lease agreement on the Newport Sea Base, which will extend the terms of the lease base to facilitate.
Sure, Chauver, if I may, apologize. Our real estate staff member is running late. He is stuck in traffic and he should be here in a few minutes. So if I may suggest that we move on to item B and come back to item A, if that's okay.
Okay, is the commission all right with us changing the order? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Thank you. Move on to B, OC Parks fiscal year budget presentation. This is for our 2023-24.
Okay, so tonight we're going to be presenting to you the 23-24 proposed budget. And for those of you that are new, this is a very high-level budget. And we have with us today, we have Ronnie, who is from our budgeting team, and she is a wizard with numbers and understands them in ways that no one else understands. Fantastic. And then we also have Joanne, who's going to also be presenting. I would ask that as we're going through this, if you have some questions, feel free to ask them, but it might be better just to keep going and then ask them at the end, because your questions might be answered in the next slide. So with that, I want to pass it on to Ronnie. Thank you.
Thank you. So the first slide we have here are going to be the general assumptions. These are some of the factors that are driving the budget. It does include maintaining service levels. We do look at those historical trends as well as the current year projections, incorporate any CO budget rates. There is a 10.39% vacancy rate applied towards the salary and benefits. And then on the revenue side, it includes a 3.5% growth rate in property taxes. Start by looking at Fund 405, which is Parks' main operating fund. It does cover the entire park system. Parks does have six additional funds that are designated for specific purposes or locations. All of our funds are non-general funds, or also known as balanced funds. Should any of Parks' other funds have expenditures that exceed their revenues or available financing, then Fund 405 will subsidize. But if the revenues exceed the expenditures, then the excess goes into a fund balance unassigned. We also refer to it as an FBU. Those funds, any excess funds, will always remain within Parks funds. They do not go into the general fund. So we have a very high level overview of Parks Fund 405, the main operating fund. The 23-24 proposed budget is $152 million with 350 positions. If we are comparing it to the current year 22-23 modified budget, it's just under $167 million. That's roughly a $14.7 million decrease. That variance is primarily in other charges. In the current year, it included that $22 million for the postal properties that were transferred to Laguna Beach. It's offset by some increases in service and supplies due to inflation, and then transfers out, so that's that line, other financing uses. Those are primarily going to Fund 406, which is Parks' capital project fund. There's some other transfer outs to Parks' other funds that are also includes vehicle replacements. On the revenue side, we're estimating just under $138 million. That is an increase from the current year modified budget. That is primarily due to that growth rate in property taxes. And property taxes makes up about 86% of Parks revenue in this fund. On the use of FBU, we're estimating $14.3 million. That pretty much depletes the FBU balance in this fund. However, the current year projection, $15.8 million, compared to the current year modified budget, that is due to some capital projects being rebudgeted. They're being carried over and rebudgeted in fiscal year 23-24. So the corresponding FBU is also being carried over. Going on to Fund 406, Parks Capital Project Fund, the 23-24 budget is $22.4 million. Compared to the current year of $24.7 million. That does include some projects that are being carried over, as I mentioned in the previous slide. As we look at the projections, they're a little bit lower, so it does include several projects that are being carried over. This particular fund does not generate a whole lot of revenue. It's primarily from interest income. So this fund is primarily being subsidized by Fund 405. Were you utilizing any FBU balance that's within that fund right now? There's about $2.4 million, and then we're requiring a transfer in of $19.4 million from Fund 405 in order to balance this fund. Moving on to Fund 106, Newport Highlands. The 23-24 proposed budget is $10.5 million compared to the current year 22-23 budget of $8.8 million. We're looking at service and supplies. We do have an increase primarily due to inflation. We are separating out the harbor patrol cost because it is a material amount there. On other charges, we have $2 million that is being rebudgeted. That is for the dredging of lower Newport Bay. And then there's an increase in reserves of $1.8 million, and I have a breakdown of that on a later slide. On the revenues, we're estimating $5.3 million. That is primarily from rental and interest income.
income. The total requirement is well above the total revenues that are within this fund. We do have some FBU that we will be utilizing, $3.8 million. And then in order to balance this budget, we're transferring in $1.3 million from Fund 405. Moving on to Fund 108, Dana Point Park. The 23-24 proposed budget is $16.8 million compared to the current year, 22-23, of $16.5 million. Service and supplies, a slight increase just due to inflation. Again, we are separating out Harbor Patrol because the amount is material. We have capital projects, $4.975. That includes $4.7 for the rockfall mitigation project and $275 for the gazebo and fencing project. Both those projects are being carried over and rebudgeted from the current year. On the revenue side, the revenue is a lot lower than the total requirement. Revenue is primarily from rental and interest income. In order to balance the budget, we are utilizing all of the FBU that's in this fund, a total of almost $3 million. And in order to balance, we are requiring a drawdown of almost $2.5 million in order to balance this budget. And that is to offset the operating expenditures in this fund. Looking at some of Park's other funds, Fund 405 covers the landscaping and maintenance needs related to the North Peston and Crawford Canyon Parks. Fiscal year 23-24 includes the one-time capital project, the Crawford Canyon Park, and that project is being rebudgeted from fiscal year 22-23. Fund 477, it covers landscaping and maintenance needs related to the Woodview Park and East Yorba Linda. This fund is subsidized by Fund 405. It does include, they do receive some revenue from property taxes, however, it's around $30,000. So there's a transfer in of about $125,000 to this fund from Fund 405. And then the last fund, 15K, Limestone Canyon Trust, is a trust fund available for Limestone Canyon. And just to cover some of the other changes to the reserves, the first one we have listed is an increase of $89,500. Towards Fund 405, and that's for the tenant's annual obligatory contribution to the Sunset Dredging Reserve. In the second change, it's an increase of $374,200 towards Fund 106, links an obligatory contribution of OC Parks and the tenant's portion of the Newport Beach Dredging Reserve. And then there's an additional $1,469,900 required for past contributions. The last change is the drawdown of $1,408 from Fund 459 for the general reserve to offset costs for that Crawford Canyon Park project.
Thank you, guys. So this slide is our depiction of all of our services and supplies costs across all of our funds, including the restricted funds that we have. And since we have a few new commissioners on the commission, I just wanted to explain really briefly what those restricted funds are, what they mean. For Fund 108, that's Dana Point Tidelands, or Dana Point Harbor, and 106 is Newport Tidelands. Those funds, revenues that we get from those funds go right back into those funds. Basically, if we earn money in that area, it can't be spread across the county park system. It has to remain in that area. So moving on to, yes.
Do we contract with the Sheriff's Department for those services?
We do use the Sheriff's Department for services, correct.
I know, it's a contract service, so.
I don't believe it's a contract services per se.
We just pay for it or we use, right?
Yes.
So there's no agreement?
That I'm not sure.
I just don't believe that we have a formal agreement. We just get billed for the services that we render since they are part of the county.
So basically, like for the courts or for watching the admit building during a meeting, the Sheriff's Department just bills as needed. Let's use them, right?
Correct. As their staff provides services in county parks areas, they do bill us for the time.
So I just want to clarify. So it's usually for things such as special events where we're asking for extra coverage. This isn't for things that are emergency services that are within contracted cities. So this is really above and beyond regular police services.
But we do have a contract for the harbor, right?
We have an understanding, correct, that we do pay for the Harbor Patrol.
An MOU?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Just a kind of agreement.
You know what, I'm not sure exactly what kind of agreement, but we can look into that.
Well, the costs are going up, so I was just curious.
Correct, and I think it's because the sheriff's costs, and just like everything else, the costs are going up.
Okay. It's been a big piece of our budget, as long as I've been involved with this department. And maybe it'd be a good idea to schedule a Parks Commission field trip to the Harbor Patrol office and have them explain to us what they do for the money they get paid.
We can look into that.
You know, the thing that's interesting about that, though, most municipalities or people that contract with the Sheriff's Department, as a city as an example, most of us are paying between 70% to 80% of our general fund is for public safety, which includes fire, which also is included. So it's probably, public safety is probably your greatest cost, and that's why yours is going to remain so. Go ahead.
Thank you. So the reason we're breaking this out a little bit is because it does, services and supplies do count for quite a large part of the expenses that we have. And as you guys have pointed out, there are some expenses that are just built in because of the services that we receive from others. That includes things like the Sheriff's Department. We also need to staff our beaches with lifeguards. And we have admin overhead that's provided by the county, things like our public work services for our capital projects, our CO real estate function, and accounting and that sort of thing. County Council is part of that as well. A portion of our budget is for operating costs and programming, so that's about just under 50% there, and those are the ones that we can scale up or down depending on need. And we have more control over those two pots of expenditures. Those, though, keep our parks clean and open, and so we want to be very mindful of how we are budgeting that, and if we do any reductions, we want to be very careful about doing that in order to retain our levels of service that we provide the public. As you can see, many of this is related to maintenance and keeping our existing facilities safe and clean for the public to use. Just want to note real quick here too, programming and miscellaneous, it's very much a catch-all category. That does include our events budget, food for the animals, and also fish stocking at our lakes.
And when she says food for the animals, it's in the zoo.
The zoo.
We are not feeding the wildlife.
Correct. Yes. So, as we continue to be very mindful about how we budget, we do take into account all the challenges that we face as a parks department. We love that our parks are continuing to be used quite a bit. We are not seeing quite the levels of visitation that we saw during COVID, but it's still quite elevated. We're bringing in about 15 to 16 million people a year. So as our parks are well loved, we do need to spend a little bit more on maintenance and staff time. Additionally, as additional areas come under our management, like the Miles Square Park expansion, we're opening up some open space locations in Crawford Canyon Park. Those do, of course, require additional resources in terms of maintaining them and staffing them. We also contend with some natural disasters that we are finding isn't seasonal anymore. Coastal erosion is happening quite a bit. Wildfires are an ever-present danger, although this year has been nice and rainy. So it's been, yes, knock on wood, it's been kind of nice. But we also still have our invasive insects and plants since it's very rainy. Vegetation is just going a little bit crazy out there, and we have to expend some funds to just make sure we try to keep all that stuff under control. Like many other departments, we are experiencing an increase in cost of goods and services, so inflation is hitting everybody, and we are experiencing that same increase in our costs. The labor market has certainly become very competitive, particularly for entry-level positions. We also likewise have to be very mindful about when we offer a job to somebody that it is continuing to be competitive and that we're attracting the right people to work here at Parks.
Have you raised the entry-level salary for a starting?
We do it on a case-by-case basis based off of experience. So if they, let's say we have a maintenance worker come in and they've got really solid experience, we can start them. It has to still be within range of what the county offers, but we can start them a little bit higher based off of that.
Okay.
I guess the follow-up to that is there incentive for us to acquire more workers, being that if the labor market is being challenged, or it's the competitive labor market, have we increased the number? If it's, I guess, saying by its case-by-case basis, is it increased in recent years, being that there's inflation?
We have not increased the number of staff that we have, just because we usually tie that into increased responsibilities. So like when the Miles Square Park expansion was something that we knew was going to be imminent, we made sure we were prepared for that by hiring a number of maintenance workers onto our park system so that we can make sure that it's taken care of.
But salaries have stayed the same?
So, no. So the salaries are negotiated by unions,
okay.
And so there are different increases that are instilled yearly.
Right.
So depending on the union that they're involved with, we have workers that are, I think we have about four unions that are within parks.
That's right.
So depending on how they negotiate will depend on what that percentage is.
Okay.
It could go from 0% to, I think about 4% is about as high as I've seen on an annual basis, but somewhere in between there.
And then lastly, of course, we can't get all of our maintenance projects done all in one year. We do have a budget that we want to maintain and we want to live within our means. But that does mean we have some deferred maintenance that we do need to consider. And as we go through the years, maintenance and just general costs have gone up. And so that is something that is a consideration for us. Lastly, we do have several funding constraints. We have a very stable funding source, property tax. Comprises about 85-86% of our budget, so it's nice and stable. But the flip side to that is we don't get a windfall year from property tax, so we just need to make sure we're budgeting that very carefully. Unfortunately, the state is experiencing quite a huge budget deficit this coming year, and we are anticipating that that's going to translate for us fewer grants that we can tap into to help supplement what we're expending on capital projects. And as I mentioned earlier, restricted funds are something that we manage. Fund 405 is our main operating fund, and it does pay for everything across the county park system. So if one of those restricted funds goes upside down, Fund 405 will need to step in and make that fund whole.
I got a question.
Yes.
Natural disasters, storm damage. I understand that a train from San Diego up to Newport made a trip recently. Is everything done?
I don't believe any of that is on our property. Thank
None you. Of it is. Oh.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're good.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
For once on a natural disaster, it wasn't us.
Yes, it wasn't us. Okay, so despite that somewhat somber recount of all of our challenges, we are able to still accomplish some pretty great things for the community here. Very recently, during the spring, we opened up Saddleback Wilderness to scheduled public access in the Irvine Ranch open space area. We also received the California Governor's Historic Preservation Award for the Old County Courthouse stone facade restoration. You guys saw the award from the last meeting. We also reopened the Clark Regional Park Interpretive Center. We did quite a bit of building rehabilitation there, and now it's back open for the public to enjoy. And record attendance for summer concert and movie series was something that we experienced last year. So exciting stuff. Moving forward, we are looking forward to the completion of phase one of the Miles Square Park expansion project. We are also anticipating the North Gypsum and Red Rock Wilderness public areas to be open to scheduled public access fairly soon, sometime in the next fiscal year. We're hoping to break ground on the Crawford Canyon Park project. We are still experiencing coastal erosion at Capistrano Beach. Matter of fact, we were there yesterday, and there's definitely coastal erosion there. But we are working on it, and that is something.
Well,
that
it's close to the railroad tracks.
Yes, it sure
that is correct.
It is
close to the railroad tracks. Yes.
So we're continuing efforts out there. And then lastly, I'm very excited for this. We are starting our Parks Ranger Academy number 9. We have quite a few people coming on board, which we definitely need given all of the acres that we manage for the county. So next steps, we are looking forward to the Board of Supervisors reviewing this document or our proposed budget on the 13th and 14th. Once those public budget hearings are concluded, the board does a final approval on June 27th, just before the beginning of the fiscal year. That is it for my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Any board members with a question?
I didn't see any areas where the belt got tightened. I mean, almost every line item, more. Did I miss something? Is there any area where we're like, hey, let's trim here, let's trim there. It's expensive, rainy day.
Definitely, we do have some areas. Capital projects is one of those major areas that we.
So nothing in operations then, more
so we
in...
we have, but it's hard to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is such a high-level budget, so a lot of the things that we have done in the past two fiscal years, and we're continuing to do the same trend next year, is we are tightening smaller areas within our budget. The hard part with us is that all of our expenses keep going up. So as our expenses go up, we're trimming some things here.
Okay, so this went down, but this went up, and this went up exponentially more than this one, so that's why it's higher.
Correct.
So so of the big lines, did any big lines come down, or is just everything higher in total?
Most of it's higher. However, funds 406, as you can see,
this is the main fund.
This is
our capital improvements project. So as you can see here, our services and supplies, we're at $5 million this current fiscal year. We're going down to $2 million. So it's things like that. That's a huge hit.
Oh.
And then some of the money here, what's hard here is that when you look at the total, but what's looking at is requirement, but it's basically our capital improvement projects. Because we are sometimes moving projects from one fiscal year to another, it's hard to see it. But we're really adding about $10 million per year for capital improvement projects, where we used to have more like $40 million a year. And we were never getting those projects done. And we really can't afford $40 million ongoing. So really about $10
million. So some capital projects are getting a timeout.
Correct. And we're really looking at what do we need to do versus what do we want to do. Okay. We always want to do lots of big things, but we can't afford to do everything. So it's really incremental decreases. So even with the modified budget of $24.6 million, our projection is only $18 million. But as you can see, our proposed budget is $22 million. So even with the carryover, we're still going down.
Yeah.
It's a great question.
Anyone else?
Is there anything that we can do to support U.S. staff in this process and moving forward?
I think that the big thing is that having realistic expectations. So I think what's hard is that you all love our parks, just like we do, and we want to be able to do a lot of things with the money that we have. And so as we present items, it won't be to your wishes, but it hopefully will meet your needs. So I think it's more of that. And then when we need your support, we might sometimes need a letter of support for a grant, we might ask you individually if you can help with the different organizations that you might be part of to be able to help with those things.
Yeah, I do have a couple of follow-ups. So first, thank you all so much for the great presentation. A lot of info. And so I guess a couple follow-up questions that I did want to start off with is, for one, recognizing that acquiring more green space continues to be a high priority for District 2. And so understanding that, you know, we do have high expectations, but that's because the district and the community is demanding of it. And so the another thing that I wanted to go back to was the pie chart and look towards, if we can go to that. And I'm looking at the 3% in programming and miscellaneous use. And so I know that at the end of our presentation, we did recognize that we had a record number of attendance for our movie and our series. So I think that so far we've gotten great positive feedback from the community in terms of programming and hosting these kinds of events at our facilities. So I'm wondering if potentially this commission would want to look into more investments into that, being that there's a real need for it, seeing that most folks are inclined to go to these free movie events. We've seen other cities also be successful in these endeavors and having record numbers of attendance. So I think it would be, there's a direct correlation between investments and programming and crime prevention. So I wanted to follow up with that. Another thing that I did have in questions was in terms of the challenges. So if we can go to the challenges of the slide presentation, for coastal erosion, storm damage, erosion, wildfires, landslides, how have you contacted and what is our relationship with the California Coastal Commission? and how have we sought out support after the storms and all that? So it's kind of the follow-up I have with that.
So we have a very good relationship with the California Coastal Commission. We work with them regularly. We have monthly meetings with them. And we work with them on solutions for the coastal erosion and winter storms and all of that.
Okay.
They've been very supportive of OC Parks over the years. They might not do everything that we want them to do, but that's something that is, I think, across the board with public agencies and the Coastal Commission, as well as with the private sector. So I think we have a great relationship with them, and we continue to hopefully have that. So there's a lot of things that we've been able to do. So yesterday we were at Capo Beach looking at the project that we're working with, and they gave us the coastal development permit for us to be able to preserve what we have down there. And we are also, we just found out that it's not signed yet, so I hate to say this, but we think we just received a very large grant for the Living Shoreline to be going down there. So I don't want to, I know I'm on the record now, but it's something that we're really looking at. So we can't do those things without the Coastal Commission support. So they did approve the permit to be able to have a Living Shoreline. The next phase for us was to be able to get the funding for it.
Right. Awesome. And then for monthly meetings, is there a commissioner and to represent the commission, or do we just get reports back?
We give you reports.
Awesome. Okay. That's
it's staff. It's only staff. So it's staff from the Coastal Commission, and it's staff from OC Parks that are attending this.
Yeah.
So when we go to the Coastal Commission with their commission, mm-hmm. those are with staff recommendations. So we're working with the staff level of the Coastal Commission.
Perfect. And then I did want to echo also Commissioner Ashland's point about the Harbor Patrol, and it would also something that I'd be interested in learning more about to have a better understanding of what specifically those dollars go towards, and then also to the fact of $325,000 that goes to the sheriff's security, understanding that's what I assumed as well, is that most of these dollars go for events and having them be extra security, and so wanting to also see numbers back on that to know specifically how much they're charging us, where these dollars are going, because for me, just to be able to advise, I want to actually see the numbers. And so, with that being said, thank you all again. This was a great presentation.
Thank you very much. And you are correct. The security services that were $375,000, that is for the special events and for any extra security that we request from them. So that's where that money is. But we can, if you want breakdowns, we can do that.
Give me an example, please, of special events.
So in your packet, there's the concert and movie flyers.
Yeah, yeah.
So we will request
okay,
them.
Okay, so it's not necessarily some of the events that have been held at Miles Square Park that were Tet Festival and so on and so forth. Is the sheriff engaged in those as well?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. So anytime that there is alcohol, we want the sheriff to be there. And it's really, we haven't had really any issues, and I think it's because we do have a police presence there.
Good.
It's really more as a deterrent, and it's a very successful deterrent. And then if something does happen, they're able to get support a lot faster because they're right there.
I guess a follow-up to that is, what's the responsibility of our park rangers? I mean, I know that in the last meeting we talked about how the extensive view and process of being hired to be a park ranger is that parallel to be a police officer.
It's different. So
it was in the record the last right. meeting, from my understanding.
Yeah, so they're both peace officers.
Right.
But the level of responsibility is different when it comes to law enforcement.
Right.
So our park rangers are there to be able to give a citation. They do not have arresting capabilities.
And so in the event of alcohol present, would that result in a citation?
So if somebody is, for our park rangers, it's more about compliance. So they can give a citation for alcohol, but it's really on those types of events, if someone is really not, they can go and talk to them, which we have had happen. Our park rangers will, excuse me, sir, but, maybe we can help you with this. Maybe you might want to sit down for a minute, maybe have some water. They'll do that.
But they won't administer a sobriety test.
That is not something that they do.
That's
you
right.
are correct.
Okay.
But if it starts to escalate, or maybe it's maybe a couple people, or maybe it looks like it's getting out of hand, that's when we would request the help from the sheriff.
And then I guess to that is if the park rangers are already on site and they have that jurisdiction, they're not technically allowed to do all the law enforcement stuff. What specifically does, like, okay, so if we're trying to have the sheriffs there as a detractor, we're also having families there. And so my concern is if we're hosting these summer nights, if we're hosting these events where there's large gatherings of people and we want this to be a welcoming space, I'm not sure if having sheriffs on site is necessarily the most welcoming and most inviting thing for those in District 2. And being that it's already inaccessible, and we've talked about this back and forth in terms of park accessibility, how do we make it more accessible and more welcoming for all people of Orange County? And so I'm trying to figure out here, how can we have it more welcoming without having an actual person with a weapon on site when we already have our park rangers on site who are capable of providing those citations if need be? And so I guess this would be my only comment on that.
Okay. You know, Ray, on that issue, one of the things that we have to consider, and it's not us, but the county, is liability. So if we don't provide a safe environment to a certain degree, and we do have an incident that happens in a particular area, and we don't have the ability to handle it, then we're opening ourselves up to a great deal of liability. So in order for us to put on these events, the county requires us to have a certain amount of minimum security and protection. I understand where you're coming from, but on the other side, we have to worry about what the county requirements are and what the liability factors are. Like if we say if we didn't have something and something took off, we could be in trouble. And so I think there has to be a balance between the different levels of protective services. That's something we can take a look at, but that's a consideration that we're all aware of. I noticed that we have about $200 million in deferred maintenance. So do we have a plan on how we're going to handle that? Because a lot of times it's cheaper to just go ahead and get it fixed when it goes bad than to wait a while and it costs you three times as much, or especially if you have to buy parts. So what kind of a program and who's in charge of that?
So we do a 7-year CIP program working with Public Works, and then we've had a needs assessment done, which is why we know there's such a large amount of deferred maintenance, but it's really taking those types of items into consideration. For some things, it's okay to defer it a little bit, for instance, some restrooms, but then we look at it and say, okay, there's a point where we do have to we have to replace it. And so we're doing that piece by piece, part by part.
And additionally, there is a useful life for a lot of our assets, and we want to try to get as close to the end as we can to maximize what we have already invested in that asset, and then when it's close to its end of its useful life, that's when we really start ramping up on maintenance and perhaps replacement of that thing.
So like during your city roads, you have a master plan. Every year you do a certain section, and you hope that by the time you get to that, it's not too bad, right?
Correct. It's the same type of system that we're working on as well. And then sometimes there's unforeseen things. And so when something breaks, then we look at it. But looking at our 7-year CIP plan, which is not part of this presentation tonight, we have some irrigation that we need to replace in a couple of our parks because we're getting to the point now where we're spending so much time and money fixing holes in some of our parks. Like basically, we get a leak over here, then we have a leak over here, and then we go over a leak over here. So we keep fixing things, but there comes a point where it's becoming more of a whack-a-mole. And so we know that we have to spend the money, but it's millions of dollars. So that's the challenge with it, is that some of those projects are just multi-million dollars. So we also are looking for grant money. And so wherever we can, we're replacing that with grant money, so then we can do some of the other things.
And then on a financial point, I'm sure we're part of the pool of the county that invests our reserves in life. I was just curious, do we get credit for that as an agency or a division of the county? Let's say we had $5 million and that money is put into an account with LAIF or with the... Do we get the interest off that, or how does that work?
Yes, it does go back to the fund. So any type of reserves, they do earn.
So it's categorical then?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was in that slide in the beginning that showed it was rents and interest, I believe is what that was.
Yeah, some of the revenues when interest was significant within that fund, I try to indicate that it was primarily rent interest.
And that interest number should be a lot better right now.
It is going to definitely be a lot higher.
But they all let you play the stock market or bonds, right?
Well, we can always go down that rabbit hole again.
Yeah, they don't let us bet either, so.
I remember.
Any other questions? All right, is there anyone from the audience who would like to discuss item B? Okay, great. That being said, this is a receive and file item, so is there a motion to receive and file?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Is A's not here yet?
A's here.
Okay.
Ron is here.
Welcome, A.
Good evening, commissioners. I really apologize for being late. Just got traffic and COVID right coming in. My name is Raleigh Dunaway. I'm with County Executive Office, CEO of Real Estate. I manage OC Park's revenue portfolio, consists of about 52 leases. Today, I have the audience, James Lerner from the CJ's director. And he's available at the end of my presentation if there's any questions that need to be answered. Today's topic is the Newport Beach Sea Base, Boy Scouts of America Sea Base, Newport Beach. This is a picture of Grand Pier. It's located at 1931 West Coast Highway, Newport Beach. This is a very dry land. The sea base consists of an upland part and a water base part. So both parts of the water and the upland are owned by the county. Okay, and the sea base does lease the entire premises from us.
Do they sublease some of those dock area?
No, the docks?
There's some boats there that I don't think belong to the Boy Scouts, so I was just curious, are those subleased out?
No.
No, they're not. Yeah. So they're all owned by the...
Well, they're Sea Scout ships who are part of the Boy Scout program. They're nothing privately owned.
So all those big boats, not the little ones, have to do with the Boy Scouts?
Mm-hmm. Or they're, some of them are also donated boat programs, which helps offset the cost, because some of our programs operate at a loss. So we'll take donated boats and turn them around and sell them to make up for that revenue loss.
Thank you, James. I'm going to move on. The public benefit that James talked about for Boy Scouts is that they have summer camp programs during the summer for ages 5 through 17. They have sailing programs, they have rowing programs, they have marine biology science classes, they have Sea Scouts at the area, they have family groups and family and group activities. They have they got aquatic classes, and all the classes are STEM-based. And they have public field trips. And BSA and James' marketing group does work closely with San Diego Unified School District. We were down there last week with Supervisor Foney, and just as we were coming, they had two busloads of kids from Santa Ana just leaving. So they do try to coordinate with Santa Ana Unified to bring kids in Santa Ana down to the sea base. They do take them out on the water, and they bring them back, and they have classes, all private classes for the kids. This pier right here is the South Pier. This is the boathouse, and this is a resident area on the top floor and a training area. That really consists of about 4,000 square feet. So on the first floor is a boathouse, and on the second floor is a training area and a resident area. This is building B, which is the building, main building here. It houses administration, classrooms, it's got a library in it, and conference room. consists of about 8,000 square feet. This one right here. And the North Bay, this is the last one on this side. It has classrooms, multi-purpose rooms, stores, maintenance shop, wood shop, and it's about 9,900 square feet. The total land site for the entire complex is roughly a little bit over 51,000 square feet. BSA does, like I said, have an on-site resident management this site here. They is occupied 24/7, and I believe they have one of their senior maintenance staff residing in case there's issues with plumbing during the night. They used to have a director there, but that director moved on, and they replaced him with one of the maintenance crew there. The sea base has been there since 1937. And they've been there through numerous contracts and leases with the county. They built the three buildings here, roughly I think about 2000. They dredged out the marina right around 2004. And recently they realized that they need to replace the marina back here. Let's get another shot. That let me show you this real quick, sorry. This is the boathouse on the bottom. And it consists of the whole first floor. And on the top, this little section is a training area where they train kids on how to roll. And the front part here is the residence where they have a maintenance supervisor. Let's see. Right there. That's the only arrow shot I have. Boys House and Recreation has approached the county to request the county for a longer term lease. Right now they have a 30-year lease. It commenced in 2000, it expires in the 2030. They're requesting another 20 years on that lease to invest roughly $1.5 to $2 million in replacing the marina and dredging the marina. The last one I think it was dredged was back in 2004, roughly. So they will go out into the water, dredge it out, and replace the marina. The current lease is rent-free. All the costs in replacing the marina, dredging the marina, pulling all the permits will be sole cost of the Boy Scouts. There will be no cost or expense to the county. We also, I think the lease amendment are going to be upgrading some of the clauses in the lease. The lease was written back in 2000, so the clauses we're going to update are causes such as insurance, we have BMP's best management practice for stormwater runoff, we have labor compliance causes that we're replacing, and causes such as noise to update what we send to the tenant. We're also going to ask, of course, BSA will be required to bring it up to ADA standards. It does require an ADA ramp, which is going to even switch back halfway and go back the other way on the ADA ramp.
What's triggering the ramp?
ADA requirements.
But they have a current lease.
They do, but they're going to replace the marina, so they pull permits on the new marina.
Okay, so to do this, that's what triggered it. And so what triggered it?
When you pull new permits for the new marina, it will trigger bringing the old ramp up to 80.
But they're only going to do the new marina if they get the next 20 years.
Right. Correct. They need to amortize the cost out for it to be affordable for them. Now, they can't go past 50 years because they have a 30-year lease now. They add 20 years, that'd be a total of 50. And they can't go past 50 because the state timeline grants only give us 50 years on a lease. So once that 50 years is up, they'll either have to move out or come back with a renegotiate a whole new lease. But this lease will not be able to extend any further than what we're proposing today.
You said that's because of the
state? The state timelines grant.
Okay.
The waters are owned by the state. The state does grant us certain waters in Newport. Half the waters in Newport Beach are county timelines and half are city timelines. So our county timelines, that's where BSA is set up right now. So the city has the same issue, they can't go past 50 years. The local ADA method, another thing that the supervisor was requesting was a a wheelchair lift down on the dock to put, you know, wheelchair people into the boats, which we do. Again, there's no extra cost to the county. And I think that's pretty much something on my presentation. I'd like to support that and ask the commission to recommend action first item to the OSC folks, to the Board of Supervisors for approval of the first amendment to these Washington Park and Boy Scouts. If you have any questions, then James is here.
Just want to make sure that I'm able to vote on it as a council member for each.
I don't think there's a conflict here. Yeah.
My kids are, they go to that CBase.
Oh, do they?
I guess the question would be, are you making money off of your kids going there, or
no.
you're just spending
money? They've done sailing classes there, they've done summer camp there, and also it's a special program that teaches kids a lot, and they bring a lot of kids from throughout the county there, and there's a history there. And so I'm supportive of this item, but I just wanted to double check.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I was allowed to.
Yeah.
We did give them the VNAC back from the Boy Scouts, and they did sign off on as little contributions from the
I think the page on liability insurance.
Yes,
page two.
Yeah.
Is that where it was in the original agreement? Because if you take a look at the limits for a occurrence and aggregate, that's pretty low for that type of an activity there.
Well, we did run the insurance clause, coverage and limits past federal risk management. We sent them the use clause as to what the Boy Scouts will be using that lease for, and we sent them our coverage and our limits. We asked them, is there anything you want to do? Do you want to increase it? Is it good enough? It's not my call. We asked risk managers to weigh in on it. They respond back to us. And if they respond, $1 million, $2 million is adequate for them, that's what we go with. Most of our new leases do include sexual misconduct at $1 million per occurrence on something that we probably did not include in earlier leases. To answer the question, it is reviewed by risk management.
You know, the Scouts usually have an umbrella policy. Is there an umbrella that covers something like this to where you get more money? Because if you had a disaster there,
right.
That's not very much money.
Yeah.
They can always have more insurance, but they can't have less insurance. Well,
see, the question is, do you know if there's an umbrella?
I do not know if there's an umbrella. Do you know if there's an umbrella?
I can't answer.
I write the lease and I put the insurance clause in there. I do verify with risk management. But as far as the certificate of insurance that comes in every year that shows what coverage they have in it, or on the property, is managed by a different part of the CEO of the state.
I piggyback on you, Commissioner, that the insurance, that was one of my five items, that it was way too low. In all the facilities that we now have to go into, $2 million is like the new minimum. Yeah, and then you start to do the sexual misconduct, which, you know, I don't know where the Boy Scouts are at with all of that in today's world. That one jumped out at me right away. I don't have that on any of my leases that we do. So that was a new one. But yeah, I think the insurance is way too low.
The insurance clause is also a clause that we can change at will. We just have to give the Boy Scouts a 30-day notice as to what we're changing.
It's so always better to fix it beforehand than after.
No doubt. But hey, did you just say you can call them and go, hey, you now have to carry $5 million worth of insurance and they have to do it?
Yes. None of our clients.
Because I don't have that. I wouldn't sign on that on a lease. I wouldn't tell them that they could call me next week and I have $5 million worth of insurance.
Our insurance clause gives us the right to change insurances, insurance coverage and limits. So I know you spoke about, today, about changing it beforehand, but we could change insurance on 30-day notice.
All right.
All of our clauses in the lease do not give us that right. But insurance clause does give us that relationship.
Do we, is the county insure that place? Are we insured, all those buildings insured by the county? Ourselves?
I don't think we have a separate insurance.
So none of that is under county insurance. None of that 51,000.
I don't believe so.
No.
None of the buildings.
However, we are insured. So if we do get pulled into a lawsuit, we do have insurance for the county.
But it's not
specifically for that building.
If all those buildings burn down, who's going to pay to have them?
They would.
Not with $1 million, right?
Well, what would happen is that they have to determine what they're doing, but we would not have to replace them either.
All right. My recommendation, if the board wants to do this, is to let the Board of Supervisors. I think that they need to take an actual look at the replacement cost for that facility. The docks and the buildings and liability insurance. Mm-hmm. The minimum for liability insurance is very low. I mean, people that have parking lots in my community, they're paying $10 million as a number overall. And so this is from days gone by. I know the insurance costs have gone up almost 15% to 30%, but you gotta have it. And that is way, way too low.
Your costs might have gone up that to buy the insurance, but the awards and the replacement cost is way above the 20% to 30% to rebuild.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, well, first of all, you can replace to a mere fraction.
To your point, no. Matter of fact, what do you know what the value is of that property the way it sits if you were to sell it?
I do not.
Have you done?
Excuse me?
I do not know the value of that property.
You're the real estate manager.
I know, but that would be done by our appraiser. I couldn't tell you. That property is a very unique property. It's not like a house where you can comp out a house and say it's worth $500,000.
What's it zoned for? Do you know?
I do not know the zoning line.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. OC Sand has a clean out for the sewers at Newport Bay, and we tried to get 11,000 square feet. We're going through an EIR on Big Battle for it, right? For that 11,000 square feet, they want $14 million, okay? So I'm just telling you that waterfront property is very valuable.
I think it's at Pacific Coast Highway, right?
Yeah, exactly. If they don't fix it, something might happen, but that's okay. That's another story.
So maybe I could suggest something, is that I think what we could probably do is take the suggestions of looking at the minimums, and I'm working with risk management again with the recommendations to possibly increase that. And James, maybe with the Boy Scouts, it's looking at what are you actually carrying? Because these are the minimums that they have to carry. And as I've said before, they can carry as high of insurance as they would like to, but maybe we look to see like, what are you actually carrying? Okay. And maybe we raise our minimums as well. So that way we're looking at both of them, but we're working with risk management since they are the experts
just took
in insurance.
A little while for that one to come.
Correct,
out.
But it's working together.
I think it is the minimum
collaboratively.
Come up. The maximum doesn't matter.
No, but the minimums, but working with them because they might already have it. And what we don't want to do is tell them here's what the minimums have to be because this is a risk management
Understood.
Area. So we can give the recommendation that they look at it again. And maybe look to see if they might want to.
A million's too low.
I understand.
Yeah. In every category.
Well, I was on the board of the Boy Scouts with the council, and I think we did have an umbrella coverage for the entire district, or for the council, actually, and all the events that we had going on. I still think that's in place. They have to have that. Because if you took the aggregate of all of the things they have going, whether it's fire, you know, the different camps, fire storms, but if you have the different things that we control, if you don't have an umbrella to cover everything, I just can't see that not happening. And that might be their out, but you might want to look into that.
I've got a question.
Go ahead, Brian.
I really just want to support what you're saying, Pat. I think that the county has experts in risk management. This is their job to figure these things out. And I appreciate the concern that we have not only for the county, but also for Boy Scouts and making sure that you guys are protected. And I think making the recommendation to go back to county staff and let them do their jobs.
I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the landlord. We own the property. They're a tenant of ours. Mm-hmm. They are looking for another 20 years. Is it better for them or better for us? Is it better for us to tie them into another 20 years, or is it better for them to get another 20 years out of us?
I don't think it's as simple as it, who's it
that's,
better
that's
for.
That's the way real estate works.
I understand. But I think what we need to look at is what's the benefit to the community. And I think this is one of those circumstances where it's not better for parks financially to have another 20-year extension. However, I think with the services that they offer, I think for the community, not just in Newport Beach, but as we heard, when we were touring last week, we had two busloads of kids that were there who may never have had that type of experience without having us here. So I think it's really making sure that they continue those types of activities and be able to offer those, because those are not something, that's not something that OC Parks currently offers and something that we don't have the capacity to offer. So I think when you're looking at it that way, I think it's worth it to be able to have that. And we couldn't just sell that piece of land. We would not be allowed to just sell that because there's a lot of restrictions that come with this piece of property. And so if we even wanted to, we wouldn't be able to look at that till 2030. But I think with looking at going down there and seeing where the docks look like right now, they need help. And I think adding the ADA.
They need help.
They do need help. They really need to be approved. Anything that's touching water, it just gets destroyed. Unfortunately.
No, I'm a member of the Yacht Club.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
So,
you know, and I'm also willing to point out that there's 8 or 9 other yacht clubs in Newport Bay that offer much the same for free for some people.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about members.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a yachting community down on the water. And if we don't start thinking of ourselves as part of that community, then we are not looking after the value of our asset.
Understood.
Okay?
Right. And, go ahead.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? Go ahead, Dave.
Is the Boy Scouts the relevant organization moving forward to oversee this? A lot of turmoil in the Boy Scout arena over the last, decade? And who knows, I don't know if it's all done, I don't know if it's still going on. Is that the group that we would want to have run this for the next 27 years? Or is there maybe another group, or is there another potential for the facility in 7 years?
There could be, but I think that when you look at the history of the Boy Scouts of America, I think on the whole they've been a fantastic organization. I think there's been some hiccups, but I think James, you could probably speak better to more of the inclusivity of. Can you maybe come up here and maybe just if that's okay with you?
Yeah, on that.
Just to talk
and
about.
Aren't they in bankruptcy?
We're actually exiting currently. That's being finalized. I'm not going to speak to the details because that's being finished. But to speak to both of your points on the sea base specifically, we do offer yachting. But when talking about who we actually serve, it's only about 7% of the actual Newport Beach constituents. The rest of that is actually outside. And because we are part of the Boy Scouts, I'm actually a rowing coach, and that's typically a very upper middle class sport. But our team specifically actually serves about 50% POCs, and that's a very, very rare thing in our sport.
Can you explain what POC is?
People of color, yeah. And we offer huge amounts of scholarships for these kids to be able to do so. And that's something that we really pride ourselves on. As you mentioned about the boats earlier, that's how we do it. We take in those donations because most of our programs barely cut costs, or we actually lose a bit of money on, so we can bring in kids, like you said, from inner cities, or from other places that we can give them opportunities to be on the water for the first time ever. And that's what we like to do. That's what we're here to do.
And I think we need to remember, you've been in this facility since 1937, did I hear
correct.
That?
Correct.
Yeah. There's a track record there.
Well, you know, the other thing too is that I don't think we have to, I think we're looking at in a long window. This is not Boy Scout facility. It's a facility that the Boy Scouts run for the OC Parks. It's just a big feather in our cap to have that available. And because it's all-inclusive, which I know, because I've sent many of the troops at Orange County there, it's a great place to go, but also a lot of schools send their kids there. And so to me, it's just another park. And it just happens to be run by an organization. Now, if we were to go and do it ourselves, let's think of what the cost would be if we had to run that thing. It would be something that we probably couldn't afford. But because they're doing it, and I know that we're not charging them a fee to use it, in a way, we're probably making more money by having them run it as a county park for us under that title.
And it fulfills our mission. Ties in.
But it's not a county park.
It's a county property.
Mm-hmm. Property. Got it.
Well, look at, remember Irvine Lake? I mean, we had a vested interest in Irvine Lake. I remember its heyday. It's kind of similar to that, if you look at it. I still remember catching the trout in the swimming pool. If you could catch them in the lake, you go to the swimming pool, pay $6, and you get 5 or 6 trout. It's great. But that was a dinosaur going to play. I think county council will scrutinize this. I'm sure the scouts have an umbrella policy. I'm very supportive of this program. I've been in Scotland for 65 years. It's among one of the most well-used in the whole world. I think because they're willing to share it with the rest of Orange County, it's a win-win for everybody. Yes, go ahead.
The recommendations of the Board of Supervisors that we approve. Well, take those recommendations that you could give in that, in the notes to the supervisors about the insurance issue.
Would you like that to be to the supervisors, or would you like that to be back to real estate?
I mean, there's probably plenty of time, seeing that they want to do it by 2030, but whatever is easiest on staff.
This is just the First Amendment, too. I think it's going to come back to us probably at some point, maybe. But I think that Pam has a pretty good idea how we feel about certain things. If you can share that with the
I don't think it's a First Amendment as in like they're going to do this again in a week.
No, this is a First Amendment.
Yes, that there's been to that place.
But now that we brought up some issues, it may be coming back. You just never know.
It'll come back as a First Amendment for us to act on.
Well, then we'll be able to review it.
Won't. Yes, okay.
I think we'll be okay. So the recommendation, you want to go ahead. Eric, you want to make a motion?
Yes.
His recommendation was to approve... to recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval with this, and then recommending to staff, to real estate staff, to relook at the insurance clauses and working with risk management and the Boy Scouts on that.
Okay, so I second to that?
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
I'd like to put it off for a while.
Okay, is that a substitute motion?
Okay, I'll make a substitute motion. Recognizing all the benefits to this, but that there, we have raised issues here today that can't be resolved tomorrow, okay? Let's see if we can get the issues resolved and bring it back here and let us see it again.
I second that.
Okay, so we have a substitute motion, and would you state the substitute motion? Pam, go ahead.
So the substitute motion is to delay?
Yes.
Okay.
I think the hard part, though, is that we already had a motion and a second.
Okay, well, we're going to take the substitute motion first. We'll take the substitute motion first. So have a roll call on it, please. Go ahead.
On the substituted motion offered by Vice Chair Ashland, Chair Schauber?
No.
Vice Chair Ashland?
Yes.
Commissioner Diaz?
No.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Jones?
No.
Commissioner Wigan?
No.
Okay, that motion fails. Let's go back to the original motion. Go ahead and state it, please.
Okay, so the original motion was to recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of the Boy Scouts of America, Newport Sea Base lease amendment, with also the recommendation to CEO Real Estate to relook at the insurance with risk management and the Boy Scouts.
Okay. And we have a motion and we have a second. So go ahead and call the vote, please.
On the original motion offered by Commissioner Wigan, Chair Schaubert?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ashland?
No.
Commissioner Diaz?
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
No.
Commissioner Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Wigan?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation, gentlemen. We appreciate it. I bet you in that lease that both parties can get out of it with a certain evidence, right?
We can.
So if we decide that we don't want it, I think that would take care of our two commissioners' concerns about being able to pull out and not being locked in for 20 years.
Correct.
Okay, great.
That is correct.
I've been a member of I've been associated with this organization, Ocean Parks, since 04 or 05. This is the first time I've ever seen an item on this on our agenda regarding Seabase.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I missed it, but I'm not sure. I'd like to go down and visit the place. Maybe we should put it
maybe a future field trip.
Yeah, I don't want to get into a skull.
That's the only way we can do that.
You and me both.
I'm sure they'll allow tours at any point, but if it needs to be done as a group, if we're doing the sheriff's department, some.
Depending which one you're talking about.
Well, if we're going to go down there, we might as well get the whole tour of the harbor on a boat with a motor.
I'm sure the sheriff's boat would pull out to
the harbor. Is it based in the Paris?
And we can stop at the American Legion.
We can do all of that.
At the end.
I can get us in there.
I can get us in there.
And Bert, we're going to give you a one with the sail so you don't have to row. Okay. Is there anyone from the public that would like to comment on item C? Okay. That being said, this is the appointment of the commission presentation for the Orange County Parks Foundation Board of Directors. Pam, you want to go over that, please, and talk a little bit about that position?
I sure can. So the Board of Supervisors approved the creation of the Orange County Parks Foundation in 2011, so 12 years ago. The foundation was established for purposes to support public parks and recreation within Orange County. And as part of its creation, the board designated three county director seats on the board of directors with the following roles. One, a county director representing the Board of Supervisors that is currently held by Supervisor Chafee. A county director who is the sitting director of OC Parks, that position is currently held by myself. A county director representing the OC Parks Commission, and that is the position that's currently vacant. It was previously held by Commissioner McCusker, who is no longer on the commission. So for this, we wanted to be able to, tonight, appoint somebody from the commission to serve on the OC Parks Foundation.
Okay, is there an alternate for that?
There is not.
We don't need an alternate?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, it's my opportunity to appoint someone for that position. I've had a chance to take a look at some of the information with our organization. I think it's something that will be very beneficial to us. As chairman of the OC Parks right now, I would like to go ahead and take that role. One of the things is I know Bert has served on that before in the past, and so I'm going to be drawing on some of his past experience. But also, I think it's important that when things come up, especially grants, that's going to be a big deal for us, that we get a chance to have all five of us or six of us have some input on whether we want to go for it. I think you have to pick which ones will be most beneficial to us. And there's some money out there to be had. Unfortunately, at this time, my Rolodex is pretty thick after 35 years of doing this stuff, of which four more I'm out of here. I think I have an opportunity to maybe bring some of that information and relationships so that we can really benefit from this at this time. So therefore, if I can gain your support on me taking that position, I would appreciate it very much.
I was wondering why you didn't call me.
I was wondering why you didn't call me.
Oh, you got my email though, didn't you? Okay, I still want to do.
So are you making a motion then to appoint yourself for that position?
I'll make the motion so he doesn't.
Thanks, Sherry, I appreciate it.
I'll second that. I believe that Mr. Schauber does have a Rolodex that is very useful, and I believe that he would use that well in for this organization. So I'm not a fan of self-appointing. However, fancy butt, I believe in you, and I support that.
Thanks, David.
When was Commissioner McCusker last on this commission?
It's been a while. Oh.
We probably lost a couple of bucks by having anybody there for a while, so it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be. We're going to be very aggressive. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Thank you for that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, moving on to the next one, which is okay. What happened to my teeth?
Not here.
Yeah, no, we got right here. Okay, this is a OC Trail Subcommittee meeting update.
So tonight we have Brian Kerno, who is our entitlements manager / planning and design manager, and who is going to give us a brief update.
Thank you, Pam. Yes, I'll give you guys the commission here a brief update here. We had the second quarter meeting on May 11th. We had three items essentially that took place. Commissioner Jones was appointed as the new alternate chair to the trail subcommittee, and now all the positions on the committee are filled. They were provided the same great presentation that this committee received on NCCP-HCP, and I think was received quite well by that commission, by that committee as well. And then we also provided feedback on the surveys that we received at that point on Saddleback Wilderness area. And our next trail subcommittee meeting, our third quarter meeting, is on Wednesday, August 9th. And with that, staff recommends the commission receive and file updates in the second quarter, 2023, OC Parks Trail Subcommittee meeting.
Thank you. We had a recent meeting on that, and it's actually almost everybody was new. So it was nice to see a symbiosis because everybody got along really well. And it was good because I think the staff's recommendation on choices was the way it should be, because we have a little bit of people who are interested in bikes, horses, and walking. And some people had a carryover. So that balance made it very good. And I was very pleased with our first meeting. I think we're going to get very productive. Any of you other commissioners are welcome to attend and visit us anytime you'd like. So if you'd like to learn what we're doing, come on down.
We do have to be careful, though, that we don't have a Brown Act violation.
Right,
with having too
as
many.
Long as they're sitting in the audience, we're in good shape. Remember, you can have as many as you want as long as you don't make a decision. Okay, is there any other questions of anyone on OC Park on the trails? Okay, good. This is a receive and file. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Anybody opposed? Anybody abstain? Thank you. All right, was there anybody from the audience that would like to speak about any other item, which is our July field trip selection? Okay, good. Go ahead, Pam.
So tonight, Joanne Dieter is going to be presenting on the exciting opportunities for field trips.
Yes, we are very excited. I always love going down to parks locations with you guys. So as usual, we set aside about three opportunities a year so that you can have some on-the-ground experience and learn a little bit more about our facilities firsthand. Coming up, we have a selection of a couple of dates before you. One is Friday, July 7th, and the other is Saturday, July 8th. We have two location options that we'd like to offer up. The first is at the Old County Courthouse. To my recollection, I've been helping out with this commission for over a decade. I don't believe we've ever been to the courthouse, so that might be an opportunity.
Yeah, we did. We approved the land transfer at the courthouse.
Oh, okay. But at a commission field trip?
No, but it was a commission meeting.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. And then also we have that historic preservation.
Pardon me for pulling.
Oh, that's totally fine. Secondarily, so we'll do for the courthouse, we'll do a tour of the facility, and there are other county agencies that do use that facility. We'll have an opportunity to speak very briefly with them as well. The second option is at the Upper Newport Bay Nature Preserve, quite a nice area for a July meeting since it is a little bit cooler by the coast. We have a new amphitheater there, as well as a new marine documentary that we'd like to share with you guys. We actually co-sponsored that with the Newport Bay Conservancy, and it is quite a nice addition to the educational purpose of that facility. So
will we go to MRF?
Muth Center?
Yeah.
Yes, the Muth Center is right in the Newport Nature Preserve, and in fact, the documentary can be shown in that little movie theater that's inside the center.
I thought we went there.
We did go there a few years ago. I think it was 2019.
It kind of has an arcing. It arcs a little bit. It.
You wouldn't know it was there until you come in.
You can walk a trail that goes all the way back around, right?
Yep, that is that.
My first meeting on this commission, like I said, way back when, was the last meeting we had where this commission met once a month at the MRF Center.
That's interesting.
It was before we had these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just very quickly, I want to just go through the recommended actions, which is very straightforward. The first is to select a field trip date, and the second is to select a field trip location.
And the times for each of those are nine?
We do them in the morning, so usually about 8:30 or 9.
Well, I'd like to make a motion that we go to the Orange County Courthouse. I just did a quick check, and a number of people have been to the Nature Preserve already. I'm one of them. I have not been to the courthouse, and I believe that has a lot of history to it. So I would put my flag out for the courthouse.
Is that a motion?
No, it's just conversation.
Okay. Eric and I have lived at the courthouse, but I'll go wherever the majority of folks would like to go. Sometimes it's nice to get outdoors. They have made some changes at Newport Bay since the last time we were there.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a thought, too. The great outdoors versus the great indoors, I think it's, Ray, where would you like to go?
Well, I think I'm thinking facilities here because a better understanding of facilities, the courthouse isn't really a park. It's more like historic preservation, which is always great, and I thank the governor for recognizing the great work y'all did in restoring all that. So I think, I'd want to learn a little bit more about the shores and the Newport Nature Preserve and seeing how we've updated all that. But my folks, my parents got married or they took their marriage photos at the Orange County Courthouse, so I'm happy with either. I've actually never actually been inside, so I still don't know what it actually looks like. But I would lean towards the Newport Bay Nature Preserve, but I'm happy with either.
Okay, Eric?
I'm happy with either. I've been to both recently, so I can go to either one.
Okay.
My preference would be for the Upper Newport Bay.
Okay. David?
Oh, I already said mine. I'm the courthouse.
I'm going to abstain because I'm not going to be here.
Okay.
For either date. I'll be out of the state.
So, Dave, it's up to you to kind of...
Okay. No, I'll go where we... It's a beautiful run down there to the Nature Preserve, and very familiar with it. So I just rode bikes by there just not too long ago. So that's fine. Let's do that.
Okay, so it looks like the majority would like to go to the beach, and Dave will be our tour guide. So we're all set.
I can do it on Tuesday.
On 4th of July. I think you will be there with a few people.
You bring the drinks.
So now which day, Friday or Saturday, right? That's the conversation, right?
Correct.
Eric, do you have any kids' activities on Saturday? You want to go Friday instead?
I would like to bring my kids on Saturday, but they may have some activities, so Friday is probably better to get me.
Haley, are you okay with Friday?
Friday's better.
Ray?
Better.
Ray? Day Friday?
Friday it is.
Okay, Friday at the beach. Snow cone. Okay.
Can we get a formal motion and a second on both of those?
I'll go ahead and make the motion to propose the date for Friday, July 7, 2023, and to propose full trip location to be Upper Newport Bay Nature Preserve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Can we do it at 9?
Anybody opposed? Okay, here we go.
I abstain.
Okay, department updates.
Okay, so I think the big thing that we should probably talk about most recently is we've had a little bit of rain in this season.
The sky's broken.
The sky is broken. I've seen some pretty good memes lately of "Dear Son, we miss you." So I think
my mom always put that up.
Your mom is brilliant then. So we definitely have our reservoirs are full right now at Irvine Lake and in Peters Canyon Reservoir. And so that is something that I think we haven't seen for a long time, so it's really nice. Joanne had mentioned earlier that we have some rangers coming on board. We just had 7 of them start on May 19th. And when we say start, that means that we've onboarded them and they've started the process. They still have to go through the academy. We have 8 more candidates that have accepted conditional job offers, and currently they are going through medical and psych. So if they pass both of those, then they should be starting in July, hopefully by July, hopefully actually this month. And then we're anticipating then altogether having 15 recruits for Ranger Academy number 9, which is anticipated just to start very soon. Upcoming stuff is Rancho Days Fiesta. Rancho Days Fiesta we just had on May 6th, which is on Saturday, at Heritage Hill Historical Park. If you haven't been to that, I recommend going next year. It's a really fun event. We had record attendance. We had 1,400 people. Our attendance last year was 690, so we over doubled it. Art and Majeska's Spring Open House, we just had that on Saturday, May 20th. And this is one of the largest events we've ever had at Majeska as well, with about 350 attendees. And if you haven't been to the Art and Majeska House, I always recommend everything because I love everything that we do. But it is just a jewel in South Orange County, and it's pretty amazing. We just opened up the Clark Interpretive Center. Joanne mentioned that. And if you haven't been there, if you have anybody, including yourself, that's interested in archaeology or paleontology, there is fantastic displays in that park, in that building. And there's also some programming, so it's really exciting. And we had a lot of kids that came to our opening, along with some of you, and we had some of our trust up community members that also came, so it was really exciting. So those are the big things that we have had happen. Also inside your agenda, we have our upcoming events. Inside your packets, you have the summer concerts and movies. They're starting up this month. So go to everything. That's just my recommendation. Go to all of them, and you will not be disappointed. We have some fantastic movies, and we have some fantastic bands that are going to be performing all over Orange County, and so we think it's going to be pretty stellar. And then we also have some planned hikes and other fun events that are coming up. And so anything that you might be interested in, there's something for everybody. And with that concludes my report tonight.
Do they have like food trucks?
Thank you.
They do, yeah. So you can either bring your own food or you can buy your food. And it's always very good food. We do not get complaints about the quality of our food at our food trucks. It's more of, I want more.
Can you bring wine or
no? You can. We ask that you not bring glass. So
bring it out in a bottle.
So wine in a box.
That's
yeah. That is true. So that's just our request. So yes, you may.
I want to apologize to everybody for coughing.
I hope so.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. My roof was pulled off last week. And it's a shake roof.
Oh.
I have more than crap.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Well, take care of yourself.
Yeah, I will.
I think that one of the things I like to request is that you provided Regista's research on pickleball courts. I think it's good that all the commissioners get the list of pickleball courts that we've been able to compile in Orange County, because that way you'll have a good knowledge of who they are, how many there are, and be able to facilitate those if you'd like to use them.
So Parks has converted some tennis courts into pickleball?
So we do have...
Are we in this open forum conversation time now?
No, I'm just...
We have to be careful, but I can just give you a very, very brief update.
Is that
we do have four, we have four dedicated pickleball courts at Laguna Niguel Regional Park, and we had converted one tennis court into four pickleball courts also there. We are currently working on a feasibility study for pickleball throughout Orange County. That should be starting soon. And then we'll be able to look to see, are there other facilities that we should be doing pickleball at? Or really the question is, can we? And then part of that research that we've done is we wanted to see what pickleball courts do we actually have in Orange County? Public and private, and so we've compiled that information so that we'd be able to let the public know when they're requesting pickleball, because we can't just install new pickleball courts tomorrow. There has to be a process through it to make sure that we're doing our due diligence. That's my update on pickleball.
Do you want these folks to keep these books?
No, the books, just keep them here, and we will continue to fill them up for you.
I'm going to form an Orange County, an international Sports Federation in Orange County for bocce.
For bocce ball?
For bocce ball. In which case, then I'm going to come and lobby for our space at Irvine Park.
Yeah. I can tell you there is a fantastic bocce ball area in the city of Downey at Apollo Park. And there is a very active group who play bocce ball every single day.
That's cool.
So in case you were wondering where to go today, that's where you can go.
Awesome.
Any commissioner has anything you'd like to add to your agenda or any other business?
That's a good comment. And it's just a clarifying question for staff. Thank you again for so many great presentations today. For ongoing meetings, making it more accessible to the public, having a accessible way for them to call in, potentially for them to provide public comment on items regarding on the agenda that they wouldn't be able to physically be present for. So far, I've gotten a lot of emails from residents in the district saying that they would love to attend an Orange County Parks Commission meeting, but unfortunately, time conflicts don't allow, or restraints don't allow them to do that. And if they could phone in, they would phone in. But being that it's not an option, they just really are requesting that as well. So I just wanted to put that comment. Thank you.
And before we move on, we do have Ray. Is I think it's your first meeting.
Second.
Right. Yeah. Have you introduced yourself to everybody?
Partially, yeah.
Did I miss that?
Yeah, right.
You were on here.
Oh, sorry. Okay, good.
It was a fantastic introduction.
We will chat.
Anyway, welcome, Ray. We're glad to have you. My other question is, when are we going to fill our empty seat? Who is the fourth district?
Chafee.
Who?
Supervisor Chafee. That is Bacon from when Commissioner Coos had resigned, and it has not been filled yet.
All right. Have you guys reached out to him lately? And what's his reply? He's working on it. Okay, I'll give him a call. I think it's good that we have seven, because otherwise you get those three votes. That's very dangerous. All right. Thank you all for being here tonight. Yeah. Staff, thank you for a great job.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Yeah.
Can we get him a
job today, Ray? Good job.